Well, good morning. My name is Tim Cruz, and my wife Mary Beth is over here. And as you saw earlier in the video, we help direct Form. We love it. It's great to be part of the Grace family. I love coming up here to the north site. At least the lights are pretty bright. Can't see you too well. Hi. Last week, Brian Menzie, shout out in the back of the room, Theo's dad, started a series called Radically Ordinary. And he's using the book of Hebrews to discuss what does it look like to have a radically ordinary life by building daily habits into our life that, you know, the whole angle thing that if you go one tick off, like eventually they're really far away from each other, that if we begin to make small choices in our daily life, we will have a radically different life, even in the midst of our ordinary living. He used the book of Hebrews and talked about how Jesus is the best thing you could ever imagine. But he also talked about one of the big traps, specifically here in the West, is this idea of nominalism. And I think that's right here. So nominalism is this pull to only follow Jesus when it's comfortable and convenient. And last week he talked about how we need to pay attention to our faith so we don't drift away. And so this week, I'm hoping to add a little bit to that and just another everyday habit that we can get into that will hopefully lead us to a radically ordinary life, but one that is full of joy and following the Lord. So a few months ago, my cute little daughter, Honey Sue, maybe some of you heard her during one of the prayer times, she was just becoming fluent in the English language. And so we were excited when she would say new phrases and things and such like that. I'm sure you guys understand that if we had small children. And so I think we were cleaning up the dining room and there were some toys on the floor. So I was like, honey, clean up the toys and put them away, because she could understand that. Usually she would either walk away or yell or something. But this time, I feel like she looked at me. She turns to look at me, kind of like tilts her head a little bit, and she's like, no. And I'm like, what? And it was the first time I'd actually had that type of response from her, but she was so cute and nice and kind about it. But I had to stifle a laugh while she got her reminder time and subsequently cleaned up the toys. But I thought it was really cute, but it got me thinking that is that how we treat our relationship with the holy, perfect, all-knowing God? Like, we're so comfortable. He gives us this amazing gift of salvation to walk with him. And then he's like, okay. He gives us an impression or a nudge, or we read a Bible verse like, oh, I should do that. And then we're like, no. And that's interesting, because it's kind of the opposite of what Jesus did. Somebody once said that pride is reserving the final decision for myself. Pride is reserving the final decision for myself. So I'll read the Bible. I'll take in that information. Oh, the Holy Spirit gave me a little nudge. Okay, I'll take in that information. Oh, I got counsel from this. I'll take in that information. But at the end of the day, if it is to be, it is up to me. It is my responsibility. And that's the attitude we have. And so we maintain control in our life. We maintain kind of this attitude that I know best and I know better. And we don't begin to walk in the surrender that Jesus had. Because I think Jesus is our chief example of faith. We want to be on this faith journey, but we have a relationship with an invisible God. You just can't see him. You know, the Bible says nobody's seen God. But yet, we see how he moves all of the time, and we can definitely hear and feel him, as is exhibited throughout Scripture. And Jesus said, when they were talking to him, he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only do what I hear the Father, I only say what I hear the Father saying. So he had this interaction with the Holy Spirit. Remember, the dove came down. This is my son. He was anointed in the Holy Spirit. He went through his time in the desert. It was in the power of the Holy Spirit. So everything he did was with the Holy Spirit. And he didn't do anything that the Holy Spirit checked him on or said, go here. He would just leave and go. Like, there's villages, amazing revivals happen. It's like, I'm out. I'm going to go over here because the Holy Spirit told me to go over here. And he is on his knees, bleeding and sweating in agony, and says, not my will, but your will be done. A complete and total, perfect, all the time surrender. The first time in the history of mankind that it actually happened in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's his yes to God that paved the way for all of us to enter into relationship with the Holy Spirit, with our Father in heaven, our Daddy, who's with us at all times. It was his massive yes that saved the world. And so we see that if we want to battle this nominalism, we can be like Jesus, but to do it, we must what? Because I think it's easy for us to say yes when it's convenient and when it's comfortable. Oh yes, I'm here on a Sunday morning, I'll say yes, I'll go for it, I'll say a prayer. But then when we're out there and we really just got a hilarious, that's what she said joke or something like that, you know, it's like, oh, should I say it or should I not? What's the Holy Spirit telling you in that moment? Maybe, maybe not, right? And so we see that Christ's yes saved the whole world and our yes does something a little bit different. But I want to say that saying yes always to the Holy Spirit, this is what I kind of want to talk about today. Saying yes always, no matter what, to the Holy Spirit is our pathway out of nominalism. Because it's what releases us from the pride of doing things our own way. It's saying yes, no matter what, to what God is telling us to do. So another word that I like to use for nominalism would be shallow. Like maybe you felt like your relationship with God is just a little bit shallow. I don't know. I know there's been times where like, oh, I'm kind of going to church, kind of doing this thing. And it's a little bit of a shallow type of a relationship with him. I remember, you know, it's beautiful summer weather. Like we're mostly at splash pads and kiddie pools right now with our children. But I remember when I was learning how to swim and my uncle would hold me and I'd kick my feet or I'd try to like doggy paddle with my feet firmly on the ground, you know. And I remember the first time I kind of left the ground and moved through the water, you know, suspended in the water. It was, whoa, this is an amazing feeling. But as soon as I had the confidence, I think all of us have had this experience who like to swim and have been swimming. As soon as we have the confidence to swim, we're out of the shallow end and we're into the deep end. We're doing cannonballs and playing Marco Polo and treading water and having fun and interacting with the water in a brand new way that is amazing and wonderful. But I feel that many of us stay in the shallow end of the pool. Brian Menzie talked about last week how, you know, do we need to go back to all these fundamental things of this of like baptisms and repentance from sins and all this type of stuff. Like, do we have to go over all this stuff again? Do we have to go back to learning how to doggy paddle and kick our feet? Or can we just jump in the deep end and say yes to what the Holy Spirit is telling us? But what is it that we're actually saying yes to? I think that's a really big question because like, okay, so I'm saying yes to what? Like, okay, so like the Holy Spirit nudges me, I do it. What? Yay. Like I obeyed. I feel good about it, right? That's sometimes how I feel on this side of saying yes to the Holy Spirit. But what he's offering us, you know, the Bible calls it walking in the Spirit. If you want to do it for the fun illustration today, we can swimming in the Spirit, kind of moving and flowing with the Holy Spirit. It's an invitation into a deeper relationship with him. And there is so much, I think C.S. Lewis actually put it really well. So I'll go ahead and put that slide up. In his book, Weight of Glory, C.S. Lewis says, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. Holiday vacation at the sea is British language. We are far, this is the great line, we are far too easily pleased. We are far too easily pleased. We are fine being in the shallow end of the pool and we don't realize that when we move and go to the deep end of the pool, that there is interaction with God that we've never seen before. And it is interaction that brings us more taste and more experience of infinite joy. Of this peace that releases us from anxiety. It says, the Lord is here. Be anxious for nothing. So when God says, here I am, be there. And then you can be anxious for nothing. Go into this deep end, this deep relationship with the Lord. Because like Brian said last week, there's nothing better than Jesus Christ. There's nothing better than this relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because I think we talk a lot about how there's, you know, it's Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. But then we see like these things, like it's not about doing all these lists of rules so we can please God. You know, we try to please God by what we do. And the reality is we cannot please God. There's one person who pleased God, and that's Jesus Christ. So when you said yes to him, when he received that gift of his life within you, you're pleasing to God. It's done. So when God asks us to do something, when he asks us to enter into another experience of him, he's not wanting you to do it so you please him. He's wanting you to do it because he wants to interact with you in a new way. He wants to show you how he can move in ways that you've never seen before, that how he can provide for you when you thought provision wasn't possible, when he's asking you to leave a job and go, to what? I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. But is he calling you to do it? Can we trust him? Can we dive into that deep end and see him move in ways we've never seen before? He's calling us to experience infinite joy. When he asks us to obey, if we want to use that word, or ask us to move, it's a space. When we choose to enter that space, it's not so we can please him. It's so we can interact with him. He wants to give us his pleasure that he has. And he knows that when we move where he's moving, that's where the pleasure of having relationship with God and the Holy Spirit is. And that's where we find purpose. And change begins to happen all around us in our families, in our relationship with our spouses and our children. And that's what changes the world, one yes at a time. And, you know, this whole idea of ordinary radical is that it's not like overnight, like I say one yes and all of a sudden the whole world's a new place. But it's a daily yes, yes to being filled more and more with the Spirit. And so we have to be patient with ourselves. But it's something, again, that if we do these little yeses every single day, the outcome will be amazing of a life that is surrendered completely. This it says yes, yes, yes to the Word of God, to the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to talk about three ways how the Holy Spirit interacts with us. But before I get there, I wanted to address something, because when we say, just say yes, is it enough just for, you know, the vibrations to go through our larynx and for the sounds to come out and we form them and say, yes, I do it, Jesus? Or is there a little bit more that God is asking for us? Is it enough just to want to be in the deep end? You know, you're standing in the shallow. Is it enough just to want it, or is there more? Jesus addresses this often, and it's addressed often in the scriptures. But I'm going to use the parable of the two sons found in Matthew 21. So you can follow along here. And this is Jesus speaking. So Matthew 21, verses 28 through 31. Jesus tells a parable, and it goes like this. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went and worked in the vineyard. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, yes. And then he did not go. Which of the two did what the father wanted? Jesus asks. The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. So Jesus here is challenging the religious people, the church people of his day, that giving lip service to him just isn't gonna cut it. In the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about the foolish man and the wise man. The wise man who built his house upon the rock is the one who moved when he heard the words of Jesus. In the book of James, which is one of the greatest discourses on faith, James says, faith without works isn't faith at all. It's dead. Faith without moving. So when we say yes, it's actually, you know, the title of this talk is just say yes, kind of, always. But I think it could also be just do yes. I think we have a little slide for that, you know, like cross it out. Just do yes. Move when the Holy Spirit says move. Don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. Because it's when we do is when, like, because if you're in the shallow end, you're not in the deep end until you actually move to the deep end, right? You actually have to move your body from one place to another. And God could be calling you to move in a very specific way. Because if you're just in the shallow end, you know, sipping your pina colada with your toys, or your toes in the pool, you know, oh, this is amazing. I love being a Christian. But that's not what you're being at the swimming pool for. It's to have fun and to dive in. And like the song said earlier, it's a waterfall. It's an ocean of love that we're missing out on because we're far too easily pleased with whatever we're doing, whatever this nominal life is. And then when stressors and things begin to come, because it doesn't matter if you're flowing with the Spirit or you're not flowing with the Spirit, stress comes. It's coming at you constantly in this world. But if you're in the deep end and you're doing what God is saying, when those stressors come, you're gonna be able to turn, woo, oh, he's right here. Oh yeah, I'm right with him. Okay, he's speaking to me about this. Okay, I'm with me. Oh wow. And the release and the anxiety just will go away much quicker and much simpler as we're walking with him. So maybe in this room, you are walking that walk right now. When you feel a thing of the Holy Spirit, like, yes, because you know it's an opportunity, because you've been there before and you've done it. I want to encourage you and you go, yes. Jesus said, greater things than these, and he was referring to miracles and all these types of things, will you do if you believe in me and you walk with me? I believe if you've begun to live this life of saying yes, always being completely surrendered, God has even more for you in store than maybe you can even imagine. Or maybe today you're in the shallow end and you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. This is really like, out there, what do you mean going to the deep end and all this type of stuff? I don't know. And I'll talk a little bit about how God calls us to move, and it's just simple everyday things. Maybe it's how we treat our spouse, and we'd feel like, I really just want to close down and walk away, but you know it's a turning to your spouse. It's coming back, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to try to figure out this conflict. Because, again, I suppose if any of you are in here married, you know the conflict happens, you know, every once in a while. But what are we doing when that conflict comes? Or maybe you're here, or maybe there's a sin in your life that just keeps coming back at you and back at you and back at you. But are you willing to take the steps to confess and to be held accountable so that we can, in a community of people who are listening to the Holy Spirit and saying yes together, walk through this? Because we're not meant to do this alone. It's meant to be done in community and with other people. Or maybe you're here today and you've never even stepped into the pool. I don't know. This is a pretty cool group, but it's possible. And I wanna, if you're here, I hope you can hear the, maybe you've been hurt by somebody who's called themselves a Christian. Maybe you've been hurt by the church. I wanna tell you that there is a release that when you get into the water, when you're ready to come and embrace a relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's a new type of living. It's a new way of living. And actually, there's a gift that will be given to you, which is the life of Christ within you. And it will change everything for the rest of your life. So there's so many ways that the Holy Spirit moves in our lives. I'm going to address, I believe, kind of three ways that he can move. And I think he moves in more than this, but I want to talk about three because they've happened in my own personal life. I'm going to tell stories for each of them. And the three ways is he convicts us, he calls us, and he comforts us. So he convicts us of sin, he calls us to new places and to new ways of thinking and to new ways of interacting with others, but then he is also called the comforter, and he comforts us. So as you're thinking today, what does it look like for me to say yes? I kind of want you to put one of these lenses on to see if one of them is kind of sticking out to you, because I think the Holy Spirit, he works very personally with each of us. And it could be today he wants to convict us of something. It could be today he wants to call us to something. Or it could be today that you just need to be comforted. And he's our best friend and the softest, most. Have you ever heard of Oswald Chambers? He wrote the book called My Utmost for Highest, one of the greatest devotional classics of all time. And he talks about, you know, God, you know, we refer to him as a him because it's very masculine, it's very what he is. But he is also more than that. He doesn't really have a gender. And so he is as much a mother as he is a father. And he comes in and he's comforts. Jesus talks about how the mother hen gathers the chicks and comforts us. And so for a conviction story, I have plenty of conviction stories. And I'm sure you have plenty of conviction stories. And some where I've said no, and I've had consequences. But I'm going to talk about a positive one today because I want us to think what's on the other side of saying yes always. I was doing some ministry work. I was in a program similar to Form called Send, and we were doing some ministry work with these people up in Kendallville, and I met this lady who was just a little bit different, And she was talking, so I was trying to make really good conversation with her and saying, yeah, and just kind of like, okay, do I have to talk this much longer? It's a little bit of my attitude. I was trying to be nice and loving. And she says, yes, I can't wait to go back. I think it was go back to Nantucket. I'm like, oh, it's beautiful in Nantucket. Like, that's great. I'm so excited for you. I've never been to Nantucket. I don't even know what it looks like. Except on the side of those, like, Nantucket nectar bottles or whatever. But the, and so I said that, like, not a big deal. I'm being really nice to her. That's worth it. I kind of thought maybe that wasn't the truth. Whatever. No big deal. Not a big deal until the next day. We're in a church. Might even a couple days later. We're in a worship service. And we're, as a team, we're supposed to give a testimony. I was one of the, I think there was three of us who were going to give a testimony. Supposed to give a testimony. And all of a sudden, we're worshiping. And all of a sudden, I get an impression. It's like, whew. I'm like, what is this? And immediately comes to mind, it says, you lied to that lady. You need to go make it right. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. I'm, okay, wow, really? Man, how am I going to find her? I don't even know where she lives. All these different type of things. And then I kept worshiping. Cool, I'll do that. Whatever. I'll do it, yay. And then it's like, whew. You need to do it now. I'm like, what? This isn't right. But then the Bible verse immediately came to mind. When you come to offer your gift, Jesus says, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift and go your way. I'm like, you can't be serious. I'm like, okay, if this kind of feeling kind of continues, maybe it continued. And I was like, oh man. And so it was when I was like, all right, I'm gonna try this. This is crazy. So I go to my coordinator and said, like, I'm out. Sorry. Like during the middle of a worship song, I'm leaving. And he's like, what did you just say? I'm like, no, I really feel the Lord wants me to do this. He's like, okay, I guess. And so I get in my car and I drive over to Kendallville. And she had told me she went to the Catholic church. So I go to the Catholic church. I wait for it to get over. Mass gets out. And she's there. I was like, oh my goodness. How is this even possible that she ended up going to church this week? So I talk to her and say, hey, remember me from the week? She's like, oh yeah, I remember we give a little small time. I'm like, I really wanted you to know that I came today because it's kind of awkward that I'm waiting for you outside of church. And I came today because I felt the impression that, you know, I had lied to you the other day and the Holy Spirit really wanted me to come and to make it right with you. And I would say, I really want to ask forgiveness for lying to you and say, I don't know what Nantucket looks like. I know it's a really small thing, but I really want to say that I don't know, but I know you know, and try to make it right. And she accepted my forgiveness and it was great. And it was kind of like that, okay, whew, all right, I did it. It's like, okay, cool. But what's amazing as part of this story, and this is how God works, is because I left, one of my other friends who was in the SEND program ended up getting up and talking, and he shared that day about his DUI and how it had completely changed his life and brought him to the bottom, but also directed him toward God. And that day, there was a man in the audience who had just had a DUI and didn't go to church, but his wife wanted him to come to church. And since he just had the DUI, he was kind of at the end of the rope. He came to church, heard that story, and it was unbelievable, the connection that was made between my friend and him. And he came up and talked to him afterward, and he was so encouraged because there's so much shame and things attached with that. And so God works in these ways. So when you're being convicted of a sin or even something small that you've done, take care of it as soon as possible. You know, there are some bigger things that maybe need more counseling to think of side of hand. Take your time, go through it. But take a step and take a step now. Move. Because again, when you do this, you're gonna see God do things you've never seen before. It's amazing. Another way that he works is a call. He calls us to do things. Like he called Abraham to leave his mother and father and just go. Go where? I don't know what I'm going to do. We don't know what following what the Holy Spirit will do for us. But it changed. Again, his yes to God worked out. His no's to God ended up some pretty bad situations. But his yeses, very amazing situations. And so and this is something, because you know how God moves that when I got convicted, it was very much kind of like this emotional pressure. But yes, I knew exactly what God was trying to say to me. This one was a little bit different because it was just a thought I got. And I knew, it was like, I didn't come up with this thought. So one day, I think I was praying in the morning, I can't remember. And later, I was taking a shower. And I think I'd pray that day, Lord, what do you want us to do or whatever? Also, two things came into mind. It's like, meet with this friend of yours and take one morning a week and have it be family morning. And I'm like, this is kind of weird. Like, those are ideas. But I was like, you know what? I've never had that particular thing happen to me before where like, it was in my head, but like, I knew it wasn't me. And so I did it. I met with my friend, and again, this is one thing where just because you're following the Holy Spirit doesn't mean another person's following the Holy Spirit. And so that relationship didn't end up being reciprocal, but right then they were going through some really dark stuff and it didn't come out till a year later, but they didn't talk to me and I had no idea, but the Lord wanted me to be there for them. And then the other thing was, since we've done it, we've taken Monday morning now for the last year and we said, this is gonna be family morning. And it sounds great, but it's actually been really hard with trying to get stuff done, but it's amazing when following the Holy Spirit, when he's called us to do something. So we've done it, and it has kept my family as the priority in my life. My priority isn't my ministry. My priority isn't the other job that I have, because I work, my dad's here today. Yeah, I work for my dad for 8 years at an auction school, so that's what I'm doing for my other part-time job, in case you guys want to know. Auction school starts end of the month. But there's a lot of things, a lot of responsibilities that have to be done and get done. But every single Monday, we chose Monday morning. It's like we have a weekend with the family, and then Monday morning, all right, I'm right back to work. No, Monday morning, it's boom. The Holy Spirit has called us to put family first, and we're just gonna take Monday mornings to do family mornings. So we spend time as a family. We sit on the porch, play guitar, read books to my kids, and then boom, I'm to work after lunch on Mondays. And it has been unbelievable for our family to get in a rhythm of, I know my wife knows that she's a priority way over all the work. And this has been one of the biggest tools in our life to do it. And it's just because I heard a call and I said, yes. So the Lord might be convicting you. He might be calling you to something, or he might be wanting just to comfort you. And this is kind of this one's a little bit weird story because I never had this happen to me before. But it was last fall, Mary Beth and I went to a conference out in New York City. And it was the last day and we were worshiping in the morning. And then the worship leader was like, you know what? I feel like the Holy Spirit really wants to minister to people right now. Like, okay, that's cool. So we kind of sit down and she's like, just let the Holy Spirit move. And then all of a sudden, I got this impression to cry. And I don't cry too often. Like maybe if it's a really good movie, maybe. But I was like, what is this? And I had a choice. Do I say yes to this urge to cry thingy? Or do I just kind of like, nah, it's no weird deal? And I chose, you know, because the whole room was like trying to seek the Lord in that moment. It's like, okay, I'll say yes. And I started crying, and I cried for 10 minutes straight. And I'd never done that probably in my whole life. Well, maybe one time, I do remember one time. But I hadn't done that for a long, long time. And I could sense the presence of the Lord in a way I'd never experienced him being with me in grieving. Because we were actually going through some reasonably difficult things at the time. And so it was like the Holy Spirit saying to me, I'm crying with you. I know that this is hard. I know, but I want you to say it's okay to cry. But I had to say yes to it. But it was the most comforting experience that I've had with the Holy Spirit. So the question today then is, how is the Holy Spirit wanting to meet with you right now? How is he wanting to interact with you? Is it that he wants you to give more space to your family and your calendar? Space. Is there a tinge right now, and you guys know what it feels like, and so I don't have to tell you, that you need to make a relationship right? Jesus says that reconciliation is your chief act of worship, making things right between one another. That's what he cares about so much, because what he's calling you into is to be right with him and to come and explore what it looks like to have joy and love like you've never had before. Or maybe he's calling you to do something, to make a big move, like leave a job or change schools, like this guy right here did. Or maybe he's calling you to do something small, like at the beginning of every workday, just getting out a notepad and just writing down a prayer every day. Maybe he's calling you to do something and he's just saying, here, like, why don't you meet with me before you start your workday every day? I want to talk to you and I want to be with you in those moments. Or it could be that he's just calling you to read the Bible every day. And that's kind of like, it sounds like a rule again. I don't want to have to read my Bible every day. But it's not reading the Bible, that's the thing. It's when you read the Bible, the word speaks to you and you interact with him and you say yes to what the word is saying. Woo, it comes alive. Like you've never seen before when you begin to move in that. Or maybe you are going through a really, really, really hard time, or maybe just a breakup with a boyfriend or girlfriend, and it's just hurting, and you're like, does God even care? Let me tell you, he cares so much. But are you willing to say yes to how he wants to come in with his grace and say, I actually feel that, and I actually know what you're going through right now, and it's okay. It's actually okay to grieve. It's okay to cry. I'm here, and I want to comfort you, and I want to be with you in that. So, Brian, are you going to come up? And then, so the challenge is just, you know, he's longing to reveal himself more and more to us, to take us on an adventure deeper into relationship with himself. So my challenge today is just imagine if everybody in this room said yes all the time to the Holy Spirit. Just imagine if your family just said yes all the time to the Holy Spirit. It's a world that would be unbelievable. So I think I'm just going to go ahead and just say yes.